Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they're out deep sea fishing. The boat should not have moved against the current. It shouldn't have stayed in one spot without an anchor. Yet for 30 minutes, it did. Why?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So, do you have a real ghost story? Because if you do, we would love for you to share it with us. And it's really easy to do that. You can leave us a voicemail, 855-853-4802. You could also just write it down at Real Ghost Stories Online. And remember, you can always become a premium subscriber. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. So, Kathy, we have had so many different stories over the years, but I have never heard one of a story happening on a boat while they're out fishing.
I've heard ghost stories about boats. I don't believe we've ever had anybody call us with one.
Yeah.
But I live in a place now, matter of fact, where this story takes place. You mentioned to me, I don't know the story, but you mentioned to me, and it takes, I used to live down in this area in Texas, and it wasn't, I used to go to Port Aransas all the time.
See, and I think that's what he says in this story. So,
okay. So, and we'll listen to it. But yeah. I also live in a place now where I'm very close to a port. I drive over there. It's a couple miles. I drive over there and then we walk the port and see all the boats and the people coming in and doing stuff. And I can see how easily this could turn into ghost stories when you're down there amongst the, it's a whole different universe down on the water.
So this begs the question, since you said you live near a port, what would you rather live closer to, a port or a portal?
Well, here, couldn't you not have a port that is a portal?
And what if the port is a portal? Then how do you deal with it? Like, I'd like to avoid that, but I can't. It's like, it's lovely
sound like
there.
Port hole instead of portal. You sound like porthole.
Well, maybe it kind of is. Anyway.
But you're down there, the boats are there. Like, there's big, they go out deep sea fishing and stuff from this one. And there's a creepiness to it. I can see it. I know that if I started talking to these guys down there that are the, you know, these old fisherman guys and stuff down there, they would have stories for me. I know it.
So this is an interesting story because I've never heard one quite like this. So, you know, you think you're out fishing, where would the haunting be happening, but when it happens on your boat, I think that's just really, really creepy.
Ooh,
so yeah. Let's go to the story.
My story is a little different than the one that I've heard. I'm a new listener. I started listening about 2 days ago, I think this is the perfect place to share my story. It started back on a family vacation back in June. Me and my father are avid deep sea fishermen, and we decided to take a nighttime deep sea excursion or adventure, and it kind of ended up differently than what we thought. We headed out about 9 o'clock in the summertime over here in Texas. It usually gets dark around 9. So we headed out with all of our supplies and everything on the boat, ready for about a 5 to 6 hour trip. We were going about 30 miles off of the coastline from Port Aransas. Port Aransas is a little island off the coast of Texas. But we headed out, and everything was normal. You know, we had no luck with catching anything yet. I think we caught more than what we bargained for. At around 11 o'clock, we noticed that we started having some technical failures with some equipment on our boat. As far as our radar and stuff like that, it detects things underneath the boat, and some of the electronics on the boat, as in lights and stuff, were started to fail, and we didn't really understand why. But as far as we knew, everything was charged. The battery on the boat was good to go. Actually, there's several batteries on the boat, but they were all good to go. They were charged. It's a fairly new boat, and we've never experienced any type of mechanical issues up until this point. But around 11 o'clock, the boat all of a sudden just lost power. And I don't know if you've ever been out in the middle of the ocean whenever it's nighttime and you have no lights around you, but it is very, very dark. And we're talking about a new moon, so there wasn't really any new or any moonlight at all. We're sitting in a very, very dark place in the middle of the ocean. You can just, and the water is very, very still, very, very calm. We normally, you throw down anchor at this point, but we didn't find that necessary because we thought this was a situation where we could just kickstart the boat and, you know, start running again. We weren't really sure why it stopped in the first place, but we figured maybe something, the wiring came loose, or, you know, there's just all kinds of things that could happen. But we were determined to figure out what it was because we were ready to go home, especially at that point. We, all of a sudden, we had taken a break to kind of talk things over, try to figure out what was going on. But we noticed that our boat was, it was kind of moving. And it's, I mean, it's not, I guess, different for a boat to move, or not, there's nothing special about that, especially being in the middle of the ocean. But it was weird because it seemed like our boat was moving against the current, and normally it doesn't happen. If your boat's going to float, it's going to float with the current, with the waves. Basically, whatever way the wind's blowing, that's which way your boat's going to go. And this is not a sailboat. This was just a fisherman's boat. It's about, I would say our boat's about 15 feet long, 15 to 16 feet long. We, actually, it's 22 feet. Thank you very much. We were moving against the current, which was very, very strange. That never happened. So we knew something was up. We noticed that about 15 minutes after we had stopped moving, or after we started moving, we actually stopped moving. And it seemed like our boat was staying in one place, one specific place. And the wind was still blowing, the current was still moving, but we were not moving any longer. And again, we didn't throw the anchor or anything like that. We didn't drop anchor, so there was really no reason for us to be moving. And at that point, we knew that was a little different than what should normally be happening, especially moving against the current. So whenever we got to this point in the ocean, it just felt like there was just this feeling, this heaviness feeling of like dread and like a sadness. And we both kind of felt it at the same time. Like we both kind of got like this feeling of just depression, like something bad had happened, which, of course, you know, being stuck out in the middle of the ocean is bad. But it was just a totally different feeling, a very heavy feeling. We didn't know what to think or what to make of it. We stayed there, and then we floated in that area for a good, I don't know, I would say half hour, until all of a sudden it was like whatever was holding the boat there just, I mean, its grasp was lost. After about 30 minutes, all of a sudden all of our electronics on the boat, the lights, everything, they popped back on, and the boat started right up, and we weren't sure what happened, and we were able to write down the coordinates of where we were before we headed back to shore. It turns out whenever we researched it that the coordinates that we looked up, there had been a shipwreck of a couple of fishermen where their boat had gone down. And the captain of the boat, he actually survived, but the person, there was actually two people that was with him. One was severely injured, and the other one, he did not make it. He actually ended up getting burned and then drowned. Right at that coordinate. So I don't know if it was something with him, or something them telling us to get out of there, but apparently the boat was, it became wrecked due to a engine fire, and, they were eventually, the captain and, the other guy was eventually rescued, but the one that did not make it, he ended up drowning, and I think they did recover his body. But it was just very strange that would happen at that point. So, anyways, very different story than what I've been hearing, but I thought you guys, would enjoy listening to that. And it's just crazy. And if you want, I know there are facts about it. It is on the internet, so feel free to look it up. Very, very crazy situation, very crazy story. And if there's anything worse than being in a dark house, it's being in the middle of a dark ocean with no light. There's no darkness, like that kind of darkness. So anyways, enjoy the show. You guys keep on doing what you're doing. I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, the whole scenario was freaky to start with.
Oh, my God,
before they look up the coordinates and find out what happened. So was it something from that accident that left a haunting there, or is that weird? Your boat happened to die in the same place their boat caught on fire? Is there something more going on?
Is there
on
a weird?
There?
Yeah. Is there a weirdness to that?
Yeah. Is there a shipwreck from 200 years ago that happened there, and it's like targeting boats that cross that particular area? Because just to be out there and it's so dark and your boat dies, I would panic.
Well, and it was moving against the current as if going to this place.
Yeah.
Like, and then it just stopped there and stayed there.
So strange.
If you want to know the truth, I know that we discussed the stories, but that was just a damn good ghost story. He did a great job of telling the story itself. I don't know. I think it's a haunted location. That's what I think.
And it just makes me wonder, is it haunted like from 200 years in that other boat? That's what happened to them too. Mm-hmm. Like, why did their boat catch on fire?
Right.
You know, is it something that's targeting boats that happen upon it at a certain time at night? Or mm-hmm. is it just that they happen to be there? And I just think that would be really terrifying to be that far out and your boat would die.
Yeah. And he's absolutely right when he says this. There really isn't anything like being out there at night and the complete darkness, no sound, no, once your motor's gone, there's no other, electrical, or there's no other engine type of noises that are going. It would just have had to have been so isolated.
And then it sounds like it all started back up.
Yeah. And then just, okay.
And it's fine.
And then it was as if it let it go.
That was really a great story.
It was a really good ghost story. It really was. I think myself, haunted location.
Like of all the ghost stories, I think that's the one I would like the least.
Oh.
Just because you're out in the middle of nowhere, it's dark, your boat dies. I would be panicking because I got a weird thing about being on a boat out in the middle of the ocean anyway. Like first time I took a cruise, I was like, can I do this? And a cruise ship is so big that you don't really feel like you're going down. A small boat, 22 feet long. Mm.
Boy. Yeah.
I don't even think I could go that far out on a small boat. I want to be able to see land.
Yeah. And these guys around where I live, because I'm in the Pacific Northwest, it's foggy all the time.
And you live not very far from that, Port Aransas. Or is that how you say it?
I lived at Port Aransas.
Aransas.
It was about an hour and a half or something.
Yeah.
And I drove down there all the time.
Because we went down there when I came to visit.
Yeah, it's a fun place to go.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So one more story, and this says, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and after hearing so many people share their stories, I thought I would send this in. This happened when I was 18. It's probably the reason I got so interested in the paranormal in the first place. Some family friends were going on vacation for a week and asked if I would house sit for them while they were gone. They had a dog. They didn't want to board. So all I really had to do was feed him, let him outside a few times a day, make sure everything was okay around the house. They were going to pay me, so it seemed like an easy way to make a little money. And to be honest, I was excited about it. I was still living with my parents, so having an entire house to myself for a week sounded great. Before they left, they told me I was welcome to have friends stop by during the day if I wanted, but nobody was allowed to spend the night. They said they had a sitter a few years earlier. It turned into a big party. They didn't want that again. The house itself never felt creepy to me. I'd been there several times before. Nothing had ever happened that made me think twice about staying there by myself. The first few days were exactly what I had expected. I'd go to work, grab something to eat on the way back, let the dog out, watch TV or play Xbox for a while, then go to bed. If the whole week had gone like that, I wouldn't even really remember it. The first strange thing involved the dog. One night we were both in the living room watching TV when he suddenly stood up and looked toward the hallway. The hair on his back went up and he started growling. He wasn't barking, just growling. I muted the TV because I thought maybe somebody was outside or I'd hear something, but the house was very quiet. The dog stood there staring down the hallway for maybe 30 or 40 seconds before he suddenly relaxed, came over, laid back down beside me on the couch like nothing had ever happened. It definitely got my attention, but I figured dogs react to things people don't notice all the time. I didn't think much more about it. A night or two later, I was in the kitchen making something to eat when I heard the dog growling again. I already knew what I was going to see before I walked into the living room, and sure enough, he was standing in almost the same exact spot looking toward the hallway. Same thing as before, the hair on his back was standing up, and he never took his eyes off that part of the house. This time, I walked down the hallway myself. I checked every room, didn't find anything. When I came back, the dog had settled down again, was completely normal. And that was the first time I remember thinking, maybe this wasn't just the dog being weird. The rest of the week wasn't filled with big things, it was little things. I'd leave a bedroom door open and later notice it was closed. One evening, I turned the TV off before I went to bed. When I came back into the living room the next morning, the TV was on. I even wondered if maybe I'd hit the wrong button on the remote without realizing it. I always had some reason in my head for why something happened. None of those things by themselves really bothered me much. It was the fact that they all happened during the same week. By about the fifth night, I noticed I started leaving lights on when I went to bed. I didn't really make a decision to do it. I just did it. The next night, I fell asleep on the couch with the TV on. I told myself it was because I was so comfortable. But if I'm being honest, I just didn't want to go to the bedroom. The last night before they came home was the one that finally convinced me something wasn't right. I was drifting off to sleep on the sofa and I heard a door close. It wasn't a slam. It sounded like somebody slowly shutting one of the bedroom doors. The TV was still on. The dog had lifted his head, looking down the hallway again. Neither of us moved. I remember laying there thinking I should probably get up and check. A few nights earlier, I would have. But that night I didn't. I just stayed on the couch until I eventually fell back to sleep. The family got home the next afternoon. They thanked me for watching the house, asked if everything had gone okay. I told them everything was fine. I never said a word about the dog, the doors, sleeping on the couch. I honestly didn't know what I would have said anyway. I wasn't about to tell them I thought something might be wrong with their house, especially when I wasn't even sure what I had experienced. They did ask me to house sit for them again. I thanked them, but told them I couldn't do it. I don't even remember what excuse I gave. I just knew I wasn't staying in that house by myself for another week. I've never asked if anything strange has happened to them, and they've never brought anything up to me. Maybe there are some explanations for everything that happened while I was there, but maybe there aren't. All I know is I was excited to spend a week with the house to myself. By the end of it, I couldn't wait to give them their keys back. Thanks for reading my story. I've had a couple other experiences over the years. This was the one that started it all. That's from Cole. It is funny because it's not like there was some over-the-top haunting thing that happened.
No, but every had time a feeling. Dog, yeah, a dog acts like that, it does give you a start.
See, but my dog does that all the time. Like, he hears something and he looks to the front door and he just stares at it. And might hear something, might not hear something. He really does it when it's thunder, lightning. He'll like, what is that? Something's going to walk in the front door. I just know it. But well, I think that's just how he reacts to sounds. Like, he just like looks to the door. I don't think it's paranormal. Well, or he might.
And he might hear something outside. And so he's looking towards the door outside. You know, that's what he associates with outside. But this felt like it was in the house. like the way the dog was looking down the hallway of the house.
Well, and I think the key thing is he felt like it was in the house.
Yeah.
You know, it was creeping him out to where, like, he's not even sleeping in the bedrooms anymore. Like, yeah. I will be happy on the sofa. No problem.
And, you know, lights were on that he thought he'd turned off, or the TV was on. And you could say, well, I don't know, maybe they had the TV on some sort of timer or something, you know. I guess those are possibilities. The lights could have been on some sort of timer setup or something, and he didn't know, so it might have just thrown him. But there was just kind of a weird, not very comfortable feeling. And with the dog acting like that is what throws me, because the dog should have been used to the regular house noises.
Mm-hmm. I just think you add it all together. He was getting the vibes from it. And to the point when they're like, you want a house sit again? He's like, nope, I got something else to do.
I have a big paper to write that week, and I'll be at the library every night.
Yes. I have things. They're important things I have to do. I will be unable.
Yes, I am in charge of things that week.
And there are so many. I can't even tell you about all of the things. It would be overwhelming. So I will be unable to house sit for you. And it sounds like Cole was a great house sitter. Like, I would like to know
him. That's too bad. I know. I was going to say, I would like somebody like Cole that I could come into my house and watch my dog.
Finding a good house sitter is difficult.
It is.
He was responsible. I don't think he invited people over. He would have mentioned it.
Yeah. No. He definitely would. He's not that kind of person. Definitely.
No, I get it. I wouldn't have gone back either.
There are rules, you know, and he follows them.
So share your real ghost stories with us. 855-853-4802. Write them down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening. Become a premium subscriber if you want. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Do that through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.